friends, it's Jeff Hudson with Relational Gravity and the My Penny Earned Financial Wellness Service. Welcome to the Relational Gravity Podcast, where we learn to make a difference to those we serve, including both our customers and our employees. This episode is the second in a series focused on business owners and their advisors. Today, I'm joined by my friend Matt Green, owner of Blue Duck Lawn Care. He'll tell us about his entrepreneurial journey, which includes a passionate commitment to the well-being of the team that powers his success. So, Matt, we'll start with you. Introduce yourself. Maybe tell us a little bit about Blue Duck Lawn Care. Maybe a little bit about its history and why you're doing it.
Yeah, so Matt Green, I'm the owner and CEO of Blue Duck Lawn Care. 4 months ago, we were Green's Lawn Care and Property Services, and I decided this crazy idea, let's rebrand, right? And that was actually a highly strategized thought process. We made that change because, one, we built the company originally on maintenance. So mowing, leaf removal, snow removal, spring cleanups, fall cleanups, mulching, those types of lawn services. And then, you know, right around COVID, I had this epiphany, and it was a different chapter. I feel like I elevated to this next chapter of life or business or something of that sort. And I felt this deep meaning to really dive in and give back to our team in a meaningful way and the community at the same way. We wanted to change the service lines that we offered. So we no longer offer any of the services we offered at Green's Lawn Care Property Services. Now we 100% only do lawn treatments, so like fertilization weed control. We do pest control, so that could be interior pest control, exterior pest control, you know, the moles and voles and mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff. And then we do Christmas lights in the wintertime. And so we do residential and commercial holiday displays. It could be for a restaurant, it could be for an HOA, it could be for your own house. And so the reason we did that is because there's a higher margin in those services. With a higher margin, that allows us to, one, take care of our team at a higher level, give them better pay, offer them benefits. It also allows us to do more good in the community. And when we rebranded to Blue Duck Lawn Care, we came up with new core values. Two of the four core values, so our core values spell blue. So B is Buffalo mentality, L is love for people, U is unified by purpose, and E is efficiency. So two of those four have to do with love of people, so our team, and then unified by purpose, which is our community. A lot of the new brand of who we are is very focused on taking care of our team and taking care of our people. And so that's the new epiphany of who we are and why we do what we do. And it's always team first, how are we doing in the community, how is our reputation in the community, and then the company.
Well, you know, one of the ideas of entrepreneurship that I've seen a lot is flexibility. It's easy to have an idea when you start a business of saying, having a specific focus, running at it, and not being flexible. But it kind of gets at something you talked to me about months ago, and that's what's your why. Maybe talk a little bit about that. Why do you do what you do? Because I think that's reflected in your branding, and it's reflected in your ability to be flexible and say, okay, maybe I'm not mowing lawns anymore, but I'm doing something else. And that gets, I think, a little bit at your why.
You know, our why, I think, should change as you go on in life. You know, things that mattered to you when you were younger and when you potentially were first starting out in business, that probably shouldn't be your why 10 years in or 15 or 20 years into your business. It should definitely evolve as you evolve as a person. When we were Green's Lawn Care and we were first starting out, my why was to make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I could become a millionaire and this was going to be great and all this kind of stuff. And like, you know, it's kind of like hitting that level when you hit different revenue levels. When you first hit your first $1 million in business, you're like, oh, my life's going to be this much better and it's going to be great and all this, you know, and then you hit it and you're like, wow, nothing changed. Mm-hmm. Like, this mythical $1 million business really doesn't mean anything. Like, you're no better than anybody else. You haven't done any more good necessarily. It's just a magical number that everybody wants to march towards. And like, it's a great milestone to hit. Like, most businesses in America will never hit $1 million. I mean, I would guess probably less than 25% of businesses ever reach the $1 million mark. So yes, that's something to be proud of for sure. But what's that next thing? Like, so you've already hit this $1 million mark and you realize that, you know, money is not going to change your life. I mean, it will to some degree, but once right. you hit enough, once you have enough money, life is not really going to change. And if you can still have all of your needs met, the money, the more money doesn't matter anymore. You know, I started evolving as a person and my why, well, so my goal is to have a $100 million company. The reason why we want to hit the $1 million mark is so we can offer awesome jobs for our teams. And think about how many more jobs that you can put in the market if you run a $100 million business. And you know that those jobs are paying really, really, really good wages for our trade. They're getting amazing benefits. You're taking care of now hundreds, probably thousands of families, not just the spouse or, you know, the person that works for you, but you're taking care of the spouse, the kids. And then you can do a lot of awesome things in the community and give people career ladders and places and training and get them to places in their life that they potentially never thought that they could get to. A lot of me, I have a teaching background. I was a coach for a long time, football coach. And so I have a lot of wanting to develop people in my blood. And so I think that's what it comes back to is leading like a coach. Yeah. And giving them meaningful feedback. And sometimes that feedback is not the feedback that they want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. And that's where I think leaders sometimes fail is they want to beat around the bush a lot of times and they don't want to give the hard feedback. But on top of that, you also have to give the good feedback too. You can't just beat people down all day. And that comes into the coaching thing and how you can develop these people and help them move in their career path. And, you know, instead of hiring people for an expertise, like, I mean, let's be real. We do lawn care and pest control and Christmas lights. It doesn't take, you know, somebody who goes to school for 4 years to learn those, you know, skills. Right. I can train those. So if you hire people that have amazing values and they have great character, you can teach them what you need to know in our trade, but then you can take that person and you can propel their career through their career advancement. And then how many people can that person bring with them, you right. know, and pull them up? They see that person's success and they can also see success in their life. You know, you once you see that one person move up in a company, the other people that are kind of their coworkers or maybe even below them, they're like, wow, he did it or she did it. Like, I wonder if I could do it too. And then they start making their life better and they start moving through this, you know, the career path. And that's what is super exciting to me. That's my why now. How right. can we develop people and take care of our community?
So you're giving people a vision, yes. your employees. And I know just from talking to you that it goes beyond just the success of the company and saying, okay, you know, your individuals in your company are going to have different whys. But I also see you developing them in a business sense, but also saying, let's help you develop your lives. And by that, not being intrusive into people's lives, but looking at their financial well-being is one example. And I know you're doing some other things. So why don't you talk about that? What do you sow into people's lives and why does it matter that they are have good financial well-being or personal well-being beyond just being the person who shows up to work on time and does a good job that day?
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, it's how can you make a positive impact on people and how can you leave the world a better place? And so the vision that I am trying to cast to them is I want them all to have a dream. Like I literally met with a guy last week struggling in life and business. He's not part of our company. Somebody asked me to reach out and meet with this person, never met him before. And the first thing I asked him was like, what is your dream? What's your dream in life? And he couldn't answer that question. And everyone has a dream. And maybe he just didn't want to tell me because I'm a stranger, which mm-hmm. is very fair. You know, because some of those dreams are very personal to people.
Right.
And I can respect that maybe you don't want to tell somebody this right off the bat. You have to gain their trust. But I want to know what their dreams are. You know, and your dream and my dream could be totally different. My dream is to have this amazing business where I can take care of a lot of people. Like, that's my dream. And somebody else's dream might be to buy their first house, because right. that could be potentially a very scary, lengthy process that is just daunting to some people. If you know me, I'm a risk taker. So like the scary processes, they don't scare me at all anymore. You know, like buying a house is like, sure, I'll dive right into it. But the reason I tell you that is because some people are not that person. And we need everybody's type in the world to make this world an awesome place. And so sometimes those people just need a little bit of tugging to pull them along, you know?
Right.
Let them follow, and then we'll show them the path. Like, we need the trailblazers, and we need the other, you know, the other group that just needs to see somebody's success. But I want to know what their dream is. And my vision, what I've told them, is I need my business's vision or dream to be so large that everybody that is inside this business's ecosystem can see their dream fulfilled within the dream of the business. So if my business and my vision is so massive that everybody can solve their dreams within our organization, then our organization is doing something right, and we can do some potentially, if everything goes right, we can do some really awesome things in this world. But if you don't have a vision for your business and you don't tell the people why and what the end goal is, they don't see a future in your business. And right. so they're going to go find that somewhere else. So I want to know what their vision is. I want to know what their dream is. What is their why? And then help them craft their story in life, because everyone has a dream. And that's when life gets really interesting, when they understand that, you know, it's not about waking up every day, going to work, paying your bills, and at the end of the day, dying. That's not life.
Right.
Like, life is about waking up in the morning, doing something you love, chasing your dreams, and then at the end of the day, you die, you know?
Right.
Like, that is a life fulfilled. And that's what we want to get them to understand, is like, we're not just trying to make it to the finish line. And, you know, the finish line in this example would be, you know, everyone's going to die at some point.
Like, right.
You know, when you get to that finish line, can you say that you lived a life well lived, or are there going to be regrets? And we don't want that. And so that's why we are doing the Financial Freedom Project. That's why we do vision casting, because this is something now that is so important to me. And we release these financial freedom videos on a weekly basis. So everything from what is your why to developing a budget to buying their first house, to what type of insurance they need. If they have bad credit, how do you repair that credit? And then eventually, as they move on a little bit further in life, we have videos on how to get a will or a trust, or, you know, all these different types of financial videos to help them.
Right.
And right now, they might not appreciate them. You know, they're seeing them, but they may not appreciate them where they are in their life and in their journey. But at some point in time, they may want to come back and reference those videos and be like, you know what? I remember Matt talking about that.
Yeah.
Like, I will literally stop whatever I'm doing at the office if somebody wants to have one of these financial or vision or dream conversations. They can walk into my office at any time, and I will stop everything I'm doing to help them. That's how meaningful this is to me.
So talk a little bit also about the I may get this wrong, vision cast.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Why are you doing it, and what does that do?
So vision casting to me is, I need to show the vision of the company to everybody within the company. We have layers of leadership now. So you have me at the top, and then you have somebody that's over production operations, and then you have somebody that's over the office. And so a lot of the people that interact with, you know, team members that interact inside the office report to the office manager. And then our field staff report directly to our operations manager. And then those two people report directly to me. And sometimes I don't have a lot of contact with our field teams. And so that's why I wanted to do this vision casting. It's a video that we put out on a weekly basis to help project our vision of what the company is, where we're going, so they can continuously see it. Our goal with this would be to get them to drink the Kool-Aid, but then don't just stop at that first drink. Keep giving them some along the way and keep letting them understand the vision along the way. Because so many times when I was younger in business, I would see these core values and mission statement and vision statement. I just thought it was the corporate mumbo jumbo.
Posters on a wall.
Posters on a wall. And for most of those corporations, most of those people that work for them probably could not tell you what the core values are. They couldn't tell you what the vision, the purpose, the mission, whatever it is. They have no idea. They're so out of touch with the leadership team potentially. And so I didn't want that to be our case. And I understood the value of our core values, the mission statement, the vision statement, but it took me a while to understand that, hey, these are super important things. And I want to keep reiterating this to our team. So when they wake up one day and they're not in a great mood, or they just don't feel like going into work that day, they think about what's the why again? Why am I doing this? Why am I working so hard and it's freezing cold out here, you know, pulling down these Christmas lights in January? Why do I do this? Think about all the happiness that you just created in the last month and a half, and the magical mornings that you made for those kids when they woke up on Christmas morning and they had Christmas lights. And if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have lights up this year. Those are the things, and those are the reasons why you can wake up. And maybe you're really tired because your daughter didn't sleep at all last night. And so you're working on fumes, but you come in and you bust your butt every day because people are relying on you. Yep. And you're doing a lot of great in the world. And so those are the reasons why we do vision casting. And it's because we want to keep delivering this message to the team to let them know this is why we do this. And this is why it's important.
Well, you know, you have product features and you have product benefits. And we'll take Christmas lights as the example. Christmas lights people can envision. We know what Christmas lights are. That's in a sense a feature. But the benefits are just what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That they add magic to people's lives. I've been a long believer that if your team buys into the benefits, the why you're doing it, that gives a motivation and a purpose to a job beyond just clocking in and clocking out. And yeah, your job is to provide for your family, go to work each day. But if you can do that and get to find a little inspiration, then that actually makes life a little bit more pleasant for you in doing the work.
Yeah.
It's interesting also, we talk about mission statements that people can't remember, and they're just posters on a wall. And they're not magic. You know, you can put all kinds of words together, but if you don't live it, you don't communicate it, it doesn't matter a lot. And I recall, gosh, take me back to 1994, and I worked at a hospital and was working on a branding campaign, and we really spent a lot of time saying, why do we exist? And you think, well, a hospital, that's easy. You exist because people get sick and you make them well or whatever. But what we realized was, and this is a phrase that has stuck with me my entire career because I think it applies to more than hospitals. And our mission started out with the concept of wholeness in body, mind, and spirit is basic to the fulfillment of human potential. And that was something developed in 1994. I believe that hospital is still using that because they recognize that they're there for more than just surgeries and having babies and treating cancer. They're there to create wholeness, and they're there to give people their lives back. And I think the staff at that hospital still remains different than most that I've worked with because they understand why they're there. And I guarantee you, if you walk into that place today and ask any of the couple thousand employees why they're there, I'm going to say 9 out of 10, some 30 years later, can still give you that phrase and say, this is why we're here.
Yeah, and that is the impact that if done well, the impact that these things can have, especially in our industry, in the green industry of lawn care, landscaping, you know, you name it. There was this thought that you couldn't hire anybody. Nobody wants to work. That's the biggest BS that I've heard. I mean, there's tons of great people out there. And there's tons of great people that are currently at a job that would absolutely leave a job if they knew that your values aligned with their values. And you have to have a brand. That company has to have its own brand. You have to inspire people to meet them where they are. If you're just a tyrant, authoritarian type of business and you run your people like slaves, of course, nobody wants to work for you. And you think that there's nobody that wants to work. in the world. It's like, no, nobody wants to work for you.
That's exactly right.
Maybe you should look in yourself in the mirror and understand why nobody wants to follow your lead, because nobody wants to be treated like that in the world. But it goes back to, who do you hire in the first place? If your main objective is to hire somebody that has experience, especially in our industry. But for me, I don't need any experience. What we look for now, and we have very little churn in employees, is I'm looking for the person. And if you find the person that has great character, they align with your core values, and they think that they can achieve their dreams within your company, you have a team member that might be there for life. I mean, we don't live 30 years ago or 40 years ago when you went and worked for GE and you died at GE. You know, like you were there for 40 years. That is not the case anymore. An average employee does not stay at a company for more than 3 to 5 years anymore. If you can find that person and you can keep casting this vision, and not only casting the vision, but making sure that you're actually achieving this timeline that you showed, that you're working towards this vision, and the people that you hired have a same vision as you do, then you guys will work together for a long time, because they can see their dreams come true with your dreams, and they are worth hiring because everything aligns. So why don't you just go find the people, and maybe it's going to take a little bit more effort, a little bit more money recruiting, but go find that person the first time. And then hire that person that already believes in your culture, believes in your vision, and now they're willing to run through the wall, as people would say, for you.
Right. And, you know, I've seen cases where people have worked for enough employers that, for lack of a better term, kind of beat them down, that they've lost their vision, they've lost their dream, they've lost their hope. And I think that when they get a chance to work for a positive company, it's always nice to see that come back alive again in them, that that they realize, I'm in a place where it's safe to have dreams and hopes, and that you care about my success as much as you want me to care about yours.
Oh, yeah. People are not stupid, and people will see through all of the BS. If they can sense that your vision is not authentic to you and you don't have their best mind or best interest in mind, they're going to see right through that, and they're going to call BS when BS is there, and they're out.
And the cost of that has to be, you know, incredible.
Enormous.
Yeah.
And you got to train them all over again. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just do it the right way the first time?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but it means that you're consciously paying attention to what you do and how you treat people. And to me, that's a fundamental of – do you have to do that to build a business? Not necessarily, but do you get to do that in building a business? Yeah, and if you choose that that's the kind of business and impact you want to have in life, then that's a choice.
Yeah.
And it is, I believe, it can be a profitable and beneficial choice to you as a business owner and to your employees. So I guess we're going to wrap this up, but what would you advise if there's either other entrepreneurs who are building their businesses or even people contemplating starting a business? What should they be thinking about?
You know, some of these things that we talked about right now, you can't necessarily do when you're fighting just to be able to pay the bills tomorrow.
Right.
I think if you're just now starting out, let's just like keep a head above the water, know your numbers, like all these basic things.
You have to survive.
You got to be able to survive. And then once you're there, then you can start thinking about these interesting things and how you can serve your team better. And I would recommend to you, as soon as you start a company, this timeline starts ticking and you have a brand that you are already building, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Just start that all from the beginning. Find what's super deeply meaningful to you and craft your company around that, and then go find those people that have that same driving force in their life. But if you want to grow something that's big and it's impactful, you have very little impact on your company after a certain time. And if you want your company to continue growing, it's not because of you. As much as your ego wants to say it was all you, it has very little to do with you after you set that vision. You have to find the people that can fulfill the vision And it's the people within your company that actually do the growing of the company.
And that is a foundation to a successful business. So we're going to have to wrap it up. But Matt, thank you very much for being a guest on this podcast. I think that I always say it's about relationships always, and it sounds like that's the way you treat your people.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to another Relational Gravity podcast. Remember, as I said, it's about relationships always.